Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
In recent days, you would have heard us have several conversations around the opportunities that exist to invest on the African continent. But doing business in Africa is also not entirely always easy. There are challenges that remain, whether it's the infrastructure network, the necessary support, clarity on rules, regulations, and the structure of the law. And, of course, protection against currency weakness and depreciation. We just spoke earlier around the likes of ShopRite, which recently announced its divestment from Malawi following exits from other markets that it's undergone in the last few years. And even Nedbank just yesterday in their company results, giving us some clarity on how they are exiting certain markets on the African continent, given their divestment in EcoBank. Despite all of this, opportunity still remains. And this is where we're going to unpack what that opportunity looks like, but more so how it should adequately be explored. Bill Blackie, CEO of Business and Commercial Banking at Standard Bank, joins us now to tell us more. Bill, a pleasure to have you and welcome to Kaya Biz.
Good evening, Gugu. Good to be chatting to you again.
Excited to be speaking to you and really this time looking at the realities of doing business on the African continent, but also opportunities that exist. And maybe to help us set the context for this conversation, not only is this something that you have actively been involved in at Standard Bank, business opportunities on the continent with our peers as well in the East and other markets, but you've also been doing this with key players in the development space and conversations that have been taking place of late regarding the human talent and opportunities that exist. Maybe talk us through ensuring that you don't do this alone as Standard Bank, but really partnering with the right institutions.
Yeah, Gugu, thank you. And it's great to start on such a positive note. At Standard Bank, we are very focused on building from South Africa and across the rest of the continent. It's something that we've been doing for many years. It's been a fast-growing part of our business, and we remain very, very positive about the potential. The work that we're doing in conferences like we've been holding today, really focusing on the financing of Africa's future, is to focus on how do we bring Africans together to focus on telling that story.
And you're right, you're doing this at the Financing Africa Forward Summit with a few other partners that are on board. And I can imagine that there's been a wide variety of conversations that have been held to tap into this opportunity. And maybe let's just start there. We know the metrics. Some of the fastest growing economies are on the African continent. We've got a growing and bustling talent pool in a demographic dividend. And of course, rich in mineral resources and buzzing with new innovative solutions. The opportunity is there, but we also need to acknowledge that there isn't necessarily a standard methodology of approach when it comes to doing business on the continent, given that it represents 54 markets. Talk us through that nuance.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And starting with your first couple of points is that we really see that potential. The potential of the population, the dividend of youth, the resources capability, the need for infrastructure investment, etc. And so that's really what we are gearing ourselves up to be able to support, and specifically to support our clients in that work. But of course, that doesn't come just because you talk about it. What it requires is work, planning, development of relationships, development of understanding. In our 20 countries that we present on the continent, we have deep pools of talent, skills, etc. And this is something we've been investing in and building for a long time.
Let's talk about some of the developments you've made in growing and developing these themes, especially when it comes to the financial architecture required for the continent to work. Anyone who's done business across the continent will bemoan the currency dilemma, whether it's upstreaming, devaluations, all of these raise significant concerns. Talk to us about the financial architecture. How far have we come and what additional support is required?
Yeah, absolutely. When you think of growing across Africa, the point you make is that there are 54 countries, 54 different legal systems, 54 different currencies, plus or minus. And so it really is important to make sure that you understand how you're doing that. The way that we're trying to tackle this is obviously individual, country by country. Today, that's how you have to operate. And so making sure we have the skills and capabilities to support our clients as they grow into those countries, but also to provide the advice and the trading capacity and infrastructure. But beyond that, in the long run, what you want to see is some form of harmonization, some form of consistency across the continent. So if you look at East Africa, for example, they're making incredible strides in terms of harmonization, allowing easier trade, within the East African bloc. And beyond that, still, we support initiatives such as the African Continental Free Trade Agreement and Free Trade Area, because we do think it's really important. Now, if you look at things like Europe, it took almost 40 years for Europe to get to where it's gotten to today in terms of benefiting from the aggregation of the risk across the region, and so the lower cost of currency. That's the sort of thing you'd want to get to in time in Africa.
And that's true, understanding the time frames. And as you mentioned, Bill, I'll give you an opportunity to clear your throat. Your health and well-being is important to us here, so have a sip of water. How the various blocs perhaps are working in unison to make sure that there is political will? Because often we are frustrated by the strength of government capacity and where it might be lacking. Does this make it easier then to approach certain markets in partnership and in unison within their various trading blocks or areas where there's similarities in terms of policy? But in other words, my question really does speak to government capacity and the political will to enable an environment ripe for investment.
Yeah, there's, in our experience working across the continent, there's no shortage of political will, going right to things like the African Continental Free Trade Agreement that I spoke to earlier, but also individual and bilateral relationships. The best example at the moment, of course, is East Africa. But if you look at some of the West African blocs, you see similar progression. The reality is that these things do just take time. So it's building the ports, building the bridges, reducing the tariffs. And so each one of these things just need to be worked at consistently over time. You know, the wonderful thing about building is once it's in place, it doesn't go backwards. And so that's really our focus.
Something else that I'm keen to gauge your views on, Bill, is the sectors that are ripe for opportunity. I imagine you travel many markets across the continent. You actively participate in major transactions, deals, and business opportunities. And there might be a few interesting nuances of development regarding investment in certain sectors and even development of skills that are required across the continent. Share with us which sectors might be ripe and showing levels of growth, and also maybe the talent pool that we need to continue to develop on the continent in order to harness and fully leverage on these opportunities?
Yeah, no, thank you. It's, such a good question. I think the resources dividend of the continent is well known. What's probably less well known is the consistent investment, particularly in West Africa and countries like the DRC, that continues. That would be true actually of Northern Zambia as well. So there is sustained investment in the infrastructure required to extract the minerals that are needed across the globe for growth. The sort of closer to home, what is amazing to see is in East Africa, the technology skills and capability that is developing. I'm sure you've heard the phrases Silicon Safari.
Yes.
And it really refers to the skills and capability that are being built in East Africa and being leveraged off. Some great, great businesses growing in that part of the world. As a bank, one of the things we really focus on at the moment, actually, is how we support and build the small, medium and family-owned businesses across the continent. If you look at many of the developed economies, Europe, the US, China, etc., very much the mainstay of those economies is that, as I say, small, medium and family-owned businesses. And that was probably the biggest gap at the moment across the continent. And so we're very consciously looking at ways to support the growth of that segment.
Tell us how you're doing it and what opportunities South African-based entrepreneurs need to look out for.
Yeah, so first and foremost is in the Standard Bank Group, we've split that out as a specific segment. And so building very specialist skills and capabilities to support that. It has been one of our fastest growing segments for a number of years. In addition to that, then we have presence in, we've built a presence in 14 of the African countries alongside South Africa. Then we're consciously making sure that we can support our customers with both onshore and offshore liquidity and capital. What I mean by that is that you touched on devaluation earlier. And if you think of an entrepreneur building a business, trading in commodities maybe, or buying and selling goods from other markets, devaluation can be very material for that business. And so you've got to give entrepreneurs the opportunity to balance the local currency and hard currency balance sheet that they need. And so making sure that we've got that capacity to support those businesses within our institution. So these are the very practical things we're putting in place to help the growth of small, medium and family-owned businesses.
Oh, Bill, I could talk to you for hours on end around some of the interesting case studies that you must have experienced within the property space, resources, financial services, telecommunications, insurance. The list goes on, because that's truly one of the major challenges that entrepreneurs and businesses typically face when entering into a new market. But such a pleasure speaking to you. All the best with the ongoing conversations, and long may the success last of the entrepreneurs that you help reach and channel and penetrate the rest of the continent. Thank you for your time, Bill.
Good, thank you. Have a good evening.
Thank you. Bill Blackie, the CEO of Business and Commercial Banking at Standard Bank, joining us this evening, talking to us about ongoing conversations that have been happening at the Financing Africa Forward Summit conference, and a summit really that has been co-hosted by Standard Bank and other players in the industry, Africa Practice and One Campaign, all making sure that they are unified in their vision for the opportunities that we can explore when it comes to doing business on the African continent. We agree and admit that it's hard, it's difficult. There are some nuances and challenges that might not be familiar to our local environment. But it's like moving into a new neighborhood, right? Whenever you go into a different environment, different space, different cultures, different nuances, different rules and regulations, you need to not only adapt, but comply, and also make sure that you position yourself best for success, especially when it comes to the opportunities we'd like to explore.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.